You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
Hello, everyone. A warm welcome along to the UFC Buzz Podcast here with William Hill. Good to have you with us ahead of UFC on Fox 22, which is also known as Fight Night. Van Zandt versus Waterson. Dave Kellner here in the studio, and on the line right now, the BT Sport pundit and Telegraph correspondent Gareth A. Davis, ready to preview three fights on this card. We'll look at Faber versus Pickett, Northcutt versus Gall, and Van Zandt versus Waterson, of course, with a betting slant as ever. And it's a warm welcome right now to Gareth A. Davis. Good morning to you, Gareth.
A very good morning to you, Mr. Kellner.
How are you, sir?
I'm very well. Looking forward to another big weekend of fights.
We've got three fights we're going to preview on this podcast. And it all starts with Uriah Faber versus Brad Pickett in the bantamweight division. Faber 1-5 to win the fight here with William Hill. Pickett 7-2. And a storied history in the UFC coming to an end for Uriah Faber. One of the legends of the game bowing out in Sacramento, his hometown, on Saturday night. Faber 1-5 to win this bout. Gareth, is this going to be a procession for Faber in his final ever fight?
Well, look, these are, you know, both sides of the pond. Brad Pickett's a British legend in MMA, and Uriah is a legend in MMA in America. You don't have 43 MMA fights for nothing. And also, of course, Uriah Faber's been instrumental in putting together one of the most famous teams or gyms in MMA, Team Alpha Male. He's a terrific man. So is Brad. Brad comes in, of course, to with his trilby hat and does his octagon walk with his braces, his T-shirt, and he comes into Chaz and Dave, of course. He's a massive British favourite. He's not called One Punch for nothing. He's one of Dana White, the UFC president's favourite fighters. Brad goes out on his sword every single time he fights. He's coming to the end of his career. It would not surprise me if he got a victory against Uriah Faber, against the odds in this fight, if he actually called it a day as well. You know, amazingly, these two were both in the WEC, the World Extreme Cage Fighting Championships, together before it was bought out by the UFC when they created their lighter weight divisions. It's amazing that these two have never met, frankly. But it's a matchup of two great characters, great loved characters in the sport. And yeah, it doesn't surprise me that Faber is such a long favorite. Brad hasn't had the greatest of records in the past, but you know, Faber's 3-4 from his last seven as well. So it's a lot of pride, and they will both leave it all in the octagon on Saturday night in Sacramento.
Do you think it's a bit disrespectful to Pickett that many MMA fans are viewing this as an opportunity for Faber to bow out with a win, and this fight's almost been set up by the UFC to allow that? Do you think that's disrespectful to Pickett?
It is kind of, but you disrespect Brad Pickett at your peril, yeah? Between them, they've got over 80 MMA fights. Brad's a 37-fight veteran. The problem is, I think he's 3-7 from his last, or 3-6 from his last nine fights. But Brad is so dangerous. He's got very dangerous hands. And in many ways, he goes out there to please. Faber is more elusive in the octagon and has a more rounded game. But I wouldn't write Brad off in this fight at all, because he will be looking to deliver. He's used to being in America. You know, he's fought, you know, half of his last nine fights, either in Stockholm, in Dublin, in Austin, Texas, Las Vegas. But, you know, he's a very, very seasoned fighter. He's very comfortable at bantamweight. Both men will be putting on a show for sure. I do see Faber myself as winning this, but it would not surprise me at all to see Brad win this fight by knockout if Uriah chooses to engage.
Brad Pickett by KO, TKO or disqualification, 10-1. Uriah Faber 1-5 to win the fight. Faber by decision is available at 11-8 here with William Hill. How do you see the fight materialising? You mentioned that if Faber decides to engage, Pickett has that one-punch knockout power, but surely Faber's going to... his best route to victory has got to be, from a wrestling standpoint, hasn't it, for Faber?
Yeah, I think so. You know, if he wants to go the easy route and make this an easy fight, yes, indeed. I mean, he was on Fox Sports this week, and he said about Brad Pickett, look, he's a championship-level fighter. He's more, and this is the one thing that people forget about Brad, by the way. He's got more submission wins than he has knockouts. He always goes for the kill. The difference is, says Faber, he's a tit-for-tat guy. He'll give a punch to take a punch. And Faber admits he's less inclined to do that. Speed will be an advantage for him in this fight, but you never know. It's going to be a terrific fight anyway. It's a fan-pleaser, this fight.
It is. Let's nail you down to a prediction then, Gareth.
I'm going Faber on a points decision.
11-8, Uriah Faber by decision. Let's talk about what I think is the fight of the night here, Gareth. Sage Northcutt versus Mickey Gall in the welterweight division. And Sage Northcutt is even money. Mickey Gall is in the betting at 4-5. We do have method of result and round betting and fight to go the distance betting here with William Hill. And these two fighters have both been plucked from relative obscurity by Dana White. Both have been heavily promoted since being discovered on Looking for a Fight, which is a UFC reality show. And it's a fight that I'm looking forward to immensely. I think this will be an absolute belter.
It's a real belter. I had Sage on my Talk Sport 2 UFC show this week. And in fact, I had a fantastic interview with him. You know, Sage, he's only 20. He thanked me for every comment. I said, if you keep saying thank you, I'm doing 10 more press ups. Because, and he kept going with it. I think I ended up with around about 150 press ups I had to do. Sage, you know, grew up in a family where his dad, Mark, was a black belt in karate. His older sister, Colby, Dave, is an amateur kickboxing champion. Do you know, from the age of five, he was doing 250 sit-ups and press-ups a night before he went to bed. He's an extraordinary young man. And in many ways, you know, we call him the mini Dolph Lundgren because he's got the look of Dolph Lundgren. And he's got this kind of spray tan. He's got an incredible physique. I said to him, you've got the physique of the kind of kid who run away from home and joined the circus to be an acrobat. He has major skills on the feet. He's so, so dangerous. It's on the ground where he struggles. And I think, you know, he's up against a guy in Mickey Gall, of course, who put CM Punk away on his UFC debut, the very famous WWE wrestler who came into the UFC on a wave of publicity, submitted him by rear naked choke in the first round, 2:14 back in September in Cleveland, Ohio, where Stipe Miocic was defending his heavyweight title. The danger for Sage in this, Sage has got to knock Mickey Gall out, and Gall has got to take Sage to the ground. It's simple as that. That's how he wins the fight. The funny thing is, I had Mickey Gall on my show a few weeks ago before he fought CM Punk. In fact, after he'd beaten CM Punk, and he said he was going to smash the kid up. So when I put that to Sage Northcutt, he's so mellow. He's such a nice kid. He didn't even have any response. He said, I'm looking forward to it. It's a great fight. As you say, it's striker versus wrestler. And it's all about who closes the distance. If Gall can get hands on Sage Northcutt and take him to the ground, he gets a submission victory. But Sage, if he gets his feet and his hands going, he will knock Mickey Gall out.
Some odds here. Mickey Gall by submission, 13-8. Sage Northcutt by knockout, technical knockout or disqualification available at 11-4. One thing that needs to be considered, I think, here, Gareth, is experience as well, because Sage Northcutt is much more experienced, even though he's only 20 years old than Mickey Gall. Is that going to be a factor, that added experience that Northcutt has?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, he hasn't taken the loss that he had against Brian Barberena in January too badly. Came back with a win in July against Enrique Marin by decision. They're both very young in martial arts terms. I think, obviously, Northcutt has the more explosive skill set. And like you say, more experience in general. You know, he's been going for 2 years now as a mixed martial artist. But I think, you know, it's four UFC fights to three UFC fights. So, you know, it's a fascinating matchup. It's a millennial fan pleaser, this one, of course, because they're 20 and 24. Again, like Faber and Pickett, it's another fan favorite fight. Sage Northcutt has got lots of fans, but he's got lots of haters, as we, the expression we now use on the internet. Some people can't bear the fact he's so nice. But it's a terrific fight. I'm going for Sage Northcutt in this. I think he'll do the job. But he's got to be careful, because if he gets taken to the ground, he's not going to let him up again. He will crush him out on the ground.
Are you going by knockout?
I'm going by knockout, yeah, or TKO, yeah.
Yeah, Sage Northcutt by knockout, TKO or disqualification, 11-4 here with William Hill. And the evening finishes with the headline event, which is Paige VanZant versus Michelle Waterson. VanZant is 9-10. Waterson 9-10. So these two fighters inseparable as far as William Hill are concerned. We do have method of result betting, round betting, and fight to go the distance betting as well. And VanZant, who trains out of Uriah Faber's gym in Sacramento, so this is a home game for her to a certain extent, has won four of her last five fights, and she's only been to the scorecards once in her career as well. Latest win was an impressive win, a knockout win against Beck Rawlings at UFC Fight Night in Vancouver. And she's only 22 years old. She's managed to work her way up to 8th in the strawweight rankings. And she's taking on a former Invicta FC atomweight champion in Michelle Waterson here. Inseparable as far as William Hill are concerned. Gareth, can you separate these two fighters?
Not really, but what I will say is this, you know, I may be accused of sexism here, but this is pound for pound the hottest fight between two females on earth, because these are the two best looking women in fight sports. It's as simple as that. I mean, Michelle Waterson is not called the karate hottie for nothing. And that's her nickname, of course. And Paige VanZant, and I've been with her several times and been around her when she's training. She is one of the most beautiful women you will ever come across. And yet, when she steps into the octagon, she is pure passion, grittiness, aggression. And I think that's the danger for her in this fight. It is very difficult to separate them. But the karate hottie, as her name would suggest, she's got Thai in her blood and Thai Muay Thai fighting in her background. She is a terrific striker. And if VanZant is too loose with her attacking and aggressive style, Waterson is such a brilliant exponent, such a technical fighter, that she may well come into some very, very heavy armory and heavy artillery from Waterson. I love that expression, atomweight. It just shows you what they are. These are two small pocket rocket fighting machines. One of the things for me is that Waterson, of course, starts in karate at the age of 10. She's a brilliant striker. She's got loads of variety. She's got speed, but she's also, because of that Muay Thai style, she's brilliant in the clinch. What I think it's going to come down to, can VanZant's what we call dirty boxing outmaneuver and hustle against Michelle Waterson's brilliant Muay Thai and karate style? This is going to be a fight played out at 100 miles an hour. Remember, it's five rounds because it's the main event.
Yeah.
But I don't see it. If it goes five rounds, this is going to be a war. It could well be one of the fights of the year, Dave.
If it does go five rounds, we have betting for it to go five rounds. Yes is 4-6, so it's odds on to go the distance this fight.
Yeah.
No is in the betting at 11-10. What do you mean when you use the term dirty boxing, Gareth? What does that mean?
It means getting in tight against the octagon wall, using elbows and punches, being in the clinch, up very close. It's almost like inside fighting in boxing. Scrambling, using everything available to her at close quarters. That's what dirty boxing is. It's boxing, you know, it doesn't mean it's fouling, but dirty boxing is where you use all the street skills from boxing, shots to the body when you're in close, elbows to the body, and just really hustling up close. It was what we call infighting in boxing, you know, inside fighting. But Van Zandt is very good at it because she is relentless. Michelle Watson will want to use the space between them and get her strikes off. If it's a clean fight in terms of strikes, I do see Watson winning. Do you know, it's so hard to separate these two amazing small fighters, light fighters. A lot of people think Watson's got Van Zandt's number, but it will really come down to who exploits their game plan and their technique in the best way. You know, as you've got it, I think you've got them both at 9-10.
Yes,
you?
Yes, yes.
I'm going to go... what do I go? It's so difficult. I hate it when I've got to definitely pick a winner. I'm really struggling here, Dave. This is the toughest fight to call so far in the history of the UFC Buzz podcast for me. You know, I'm going to go Waterson, right? She has 17 mixed martial arts fights. She's lost four times. She has held, say, the Invicta atomweight title. She's a championship fighter. She's been four times in her last six fights. She's been three rounds and four rounds, five of her last six fights. She's durable. I'm going to go Waterson here in an amazing matchup. And I'm going to go for her to get a TKO victory early in the fifth round.
Michelle Waterson by KO, TKO or disqualification, 7-1. Massive price on Waterson to win in the fifth round. That's 25-1 for Waterson to win in the fifth round. Gareth, thank you for your analysis of the three fights on UFC on Fox 22. And we've got a big fight night coming up in late December, 30th of December, UFC 207 from Las Vegas, Nevada. Amanda Nunes versus Rousey, which promises to be sensational, doesn't it? With Ronda Rousey back in the octagon. Well,
yeah, absolutely incredible. I know you and I are going to go into depth on this on the week of the fight as well. This is the return of Ronda Rousey is one of the major stories of 2016. And obviously we closed the year with it. She was dethroned 13 months ago by Holly Holm. And since then, it's been a procession. The belt changing hands. Amanda Nunes is, for me, a terror. And I think if Ronda Rousey can't get it to the ground and get that armbar submission early on in this fight, it could be curtains for her in this contest. It's been a very secret training camp for her. She's done very little media work. There's walls around Ronda Rousey at the moment. So we're going to end the year with a major bang. I'm so pleased the women are getting so much credit because they are leading the world in terms of bringing women's sport forward and platforming it. You know, look, at the moment as well, there is an incredible thing going on. I started this story over a year ago with Conor McGregor, for example, and Floyd Mayweather. And Floyd Mayweather really seems to be getting under the skin of Conor McGregor at the moment. He's putting money on the table for the best gifts that people want to put out, the best smack talk towards Conor McGregor. I mentioned this a while ago. I interviewed Conor McGregor ahead of his first Nate Diaz fight for BT Sport. We had a sit down in Las Vegas and I said to him, is the fight with Mayweather a possibility? My feeling is this is a fight that is worth $500 million. I've always felt it might happen. It'll be a boxing match. And I think in 2017, we may well see these two guys go to war in a boxing ring. I don't particularly think it's the greatest fight on earth, because I think an elite MMA guy against an elite boxing guy in a boxing match, even with the defensive nous and technique and desires of Mayweather, it's still a step too far for McGregor. Who knows? McGregor's proved us wrong so far. But that, for me, is a big story at the moment as well. As big as Ronda Rousey making her return on December the 30th on the big end of year UFC show in Las Vegas against the current women's bantamweight champion, Amanda Nunes.
It's funny you mentioned Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather, Gareth, because we price up potential fights here with William Hill. And if Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor was to take place, we've priced the bout as a boxing bout. And Floyd Mayweather would be 1-25 to win that fight. Yeah. Conor McGregor would be as big as 9-1 in a pure boxing bout between the two.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me, because the odds are hugely against Conor McGregor, against the notorious one, because, you know, they are two different sports. It's as simple as that. And even though people want to see it, I don't think it's a great... I mean, you know, we've had rugby union against rugby league in the past. And if you remember years back, and I know you'll know your rugby, we had Bath against Wigan, I think it was, years ago. And they played each other at both codes. You play in your own code, you dominate. It's as simple as that, you know?
Yes, I agree. That was, I've just looked that up. That was way back in 96 now, that Clash of the Codes, Wigan versus Bath. Gareth, thank you for your company. Good luck with those predictions on UFC on Fox 22. And I look forward to catching up with you ahead of the UFC 207, Nunes versus Rousey, on December the 30th. That's live from Las Vegas. Gareth, thank you again, and we'll speak soon.
Always a pleasure, Dave. Thanks.
You can pick up this podcast via iTunes or check us out at audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. You'll see the UFC Buzz podcast pop up. And follow us both on Twitter as well. At Gareth A. Davis DT is Gareth's Twitter handle. And you can follow myself at D. Kellner. And we will be back for UFC 207 just before the year closes. Thank you for listening, and we'll speak again soon.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.